Well, you can pretty much never top the children's sermon. Are we there yet to Easter? No. It's the end of March, and it's not even Palm Sunday. It's not even the Sunday before Palm Sunday. Easter is really late this year, just as spring has seemed to be. So today, in the middle of Lent, we come together to reflect on our Lenten journey. The scripture Anna Gale just read us is such an appropriate one for today because it's from the book of Exodus. And Exodus is all about journeys. And Lent is all about journeys. What it's like, who we're with, why we're going, and how we're going. Our reading today is fairly short, but really rich. And it gets even more meaningful if you can look at it in the light of what comes just before and just after it. The book of Exodus is the great story of God's deliverance of the Hebrews from their enslavement in Egypt. Earlier in the first 14 chapters, we learn that the Hebrews became enslaved, that Moses was raised up to be their leader, that he challenged the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Finally, the Pharaoh gave in, only to change his mind and send the armies chasing after the Hebrews. But the Lord parts the sea to let the Hebrews escape and closes it over the Pharaoh's forces. And then we're up to the beginning of chapter 15. Moses and his sister Miriam and all the Israelites are singing praises to God for their deliverance. So the Hebrews are free and all is well. And that promised land must be just right around the corner. But not quite. The euphoria of freedom wears off very quickly, and the new reality of the journey sets in. No sooner are the Hebrews free than they begin to whine. "I'm thirsty. Are we there yet?" And remember, this journey through the wilderness is going to take 40 years. Now, you may have taken a car trip with a fussy child on a hot summer day, and that felt like 40 years. But this actually was 40 years. It was hard times for Moses as the leader, and it was hard times for those Israelites who had learned to call themselves the chosen people of the only God. When I read scripture, I often try to imagine myself into the story. And this story, I have to say, gives me some particular challenges. I certainly don't see myself in the story as Moses or Aaron or Miriam. I would be one of the stragglers. I would be an early adopter of the whining. There are a couple of reasons for this. First of all, I have to admit, being expelled into the desert and the uncertainties of the trek ahead would just be too hard. And for another thing, I really don't like hiking anywhere, much less in the desert. I always say I'm roughing it if I have to carry my own suitcase. But I'm not crazy about uncertainty, and I have some sympathy for these Israelites, even when a little bit later they go so far as to complain to Moses that they would have been better off left in Egypt, where they were slaves, because they had food and drink there. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. But God has lessons to teach the people in the desert, and we have similar lessons to learn in Lent. The lessons, it seems to me, have to do with giving up, growing up, and getting stronger together. The Israelites soon learned that God will provide for them in the desert, provide both food and drink, but only for a day at a time. They have to give up the desire to hoard and make a god of their own self-sufficiency. Now, I have to admit again, I would have been tempted to put a few bites of that bread in my pocket. I would have seen that as wise. Just a couple of bites, just in case for some reason it doesn't come tomorrow. Just one bite, in case God forgets me. But the lesson of the desert is to have that trust. It is no coincidence that the great prayer of our faith asks God to give us our yearly bread, monthly bread, no, our daily bread. And notice that it's not my daily bread, it's our daily bread. It's all about the journey together. However tempting that extra bread and some jugs of water might have been, they would only weigh us down and keep us from moving on where we need to go. We spend a lot of time in deserts, don't we? Deserts and wildernesses. On Ash Wednesday, we had a beautiful worship service. And in that service, we all had the opportunity to write on a communal sheet of paper out in the foyer the places where our own lives felt broken down and places where we felt we were wandering in a wilderness. And then we were marked by the sign of the cross in ashes to remind us of our own mortality, but also to remind us that any end is not the end for us as Christians. Mostly, we don't get to pick the time when we get to leave our deserts. We don't get to pick the time when our devastation over the death of a loved one becomes a little less unbearable. We don't get to choose the hour when the pain of a surgery or the misery of medical treatments becomes less than constant and gnawing. We don't get to select the date when we stop worrying about our children. But we keep moving forward, and even though it hurts, we grow. We move forward because we are led. And the lesson of Exodus is that we are always led by a God who is always leading us out of slavery. Whatever that slavery is, the slavery of addiction, narcissism, greed, or even addiction to our own fears. But it's not just slavery and then the promised land. We have to go through the wilderness. There is that journey, the whole way for the whole time. And only God knows how long that time will be. But in Lent, as we experience and reflect on those journeys, we also recall that there is an end to them. And God is beside us and leading us. There is always a wilderness, a place of struggle and doubt, and it can last a long time. It is a place where our human flaws act out, and we whine with each other, and we weep alone. Another truth of the desert, I think, is that we are often used to our old enslaved selves. Some time ago, I went out to a play with a friend who had just stopped smoking after having been a very heavy smoker her entire adult life. At the intermission, she said to me, "So what do people do during intermission if they're not going outside for a smoke?" She had to learn a whole new way to live as a non-smoker. That was hard for her, to become a new person who didn't light a cigarette when she woke up in the morning, or when she finished a meal, or when she went to a play. She did become that new person, although her struggle was long and not without setbacks. Time in the wilderness is rarely spent going in a straight line. And this is why Lent is so good for us. Every year we have a time to reflect on the wildernesses of our lives. Some of us are in some of those times right now. Some are wandering through illness, grief, loneliness, depression, unemployment. And some of us are feeling good. We are loved, we have meaningful work, we have good health. But we know that life is change, and on this journey we will encounter the promised land and the wilderness. But one thing we know when we set out, the promised land is probably not just on the other side of the river, just around that next corner. We have to go through the wilderness, and that's where we grow stronger, even when, like the Israelites, we struggle with doubt, anger, and fear. Again, I imagine those Israelites as we encounter them in Exodus 15. I imagine hundreds of them streaming through the desert. Some of them are young with strong legs and high hearts. Some are older and frail. Many need a little help on the road. Some are fearful and wish they had stayed behind in Egypt. Some probably had some things to share, while others had nothing but the clothes on their back. Some lead the way, and some straggle in the back. Some have tight family units, and some are alone, and some stray off the path. Some are solemn, and some are filled with joy in this long walk to freedom. You know what? That sounds to me like churches. Diverse people, varied gifts, and different ways of moving along the road. But they and we are people who have in common one thing, a belief that God was leading them, and always, regardless of the struggles, leading them to something better, leading them to the fulfillment of a promise. Are we there yet? Not by a long shot. But we have faith together and in each other, holding each other up, that we are led by a God who knows the way and who has formed us into a people who are on the journey, not just with, but for each other. God gives us God's own self as a companion and comforter, and gives us each other as daily witnesses of compassion and grace. We come together to love and support each other and to be reminded of whom we follow and why. Even in that desert, even in our worst deserts, God was and is present to the people in God's self and in human companionship. Sometimes that companionship is quite unexpected. I remember a story that a seminary professor told years ago. She said that when she was a young professor and also a young mother, she got the worst news that anyone could get. She learned that her little girl was ill and might not live. She shared this horrible news with her seminary colleagues at a faculty meeting. A while later, she was sitting alone in her office when a man appeared in the doorway. Now, this man was a senior faculty member, and the two of them had done nothing but quarrel since she had arrived. He was conservative, she was liberal. And she said it wasn't proper to say so, but he was my arch enemy. And there he stood in the doorway. And he said, "You are my sister, and I am standing for you in prayer." He went on to say, "Many years ago, my wife and I had a child, and he died. And people thought I was a man of faith, and my faith would get me through. But my faith was gone. It was the faith of others that held me up. So I am saying, you are my sister, and I am standing for you in prayer." How much we need each other on this journey, and how God speaks to us sometimes in the unexpected other. We are still in the middle of Lent. We are not there yet. But maybe in some ways we are. Can we see the love of God in each other? Can we stand up for each other in prayer? Can we pick up the ones who fall by the wayside? And can we believe that wherever we are, and especially when we come together as a church family, surely the presence of our God is in this place.